You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
By the way, you're a bad neighbor.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Yeah, you
just
don't,
10 minutes.
You don't care that you're a bad neighbor?
I don't want to have a...
We would not welcome you on I live on the greatest street in America.
I'd be happy for you, John.
And yeah, and you would not, we would not invite you to the block party.
No, see, here's the thing. I think you would invite me to the block party because you and I know each other a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have socialized on occasion.
Yeah.
You and I have similar interests, and mm-hmm. we would find things to talk about. I'm not opposed to these things. I don't want to have an antagonistic relationship with my neighbors. I just don't want to have that relationship.
No,
with
can
my
I? Can let me give you a little neighborly advice.
Okay.
I take a lot of pride in being a good neighbor.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you know who lives two doors down from me, Momo?
Who?
Bruce Feldman from Fox.
Oh,
he lives two doors down.
Yeah, okay. I thought I knew another person who lived two doors down from you, but it's not anymore, right?
Like athlete?
No, the Lakers people. No,
two streets over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so here's a story that'll kind of maybe help you be a better neighbor. All right. Two doors down from me is a very nice couple, and they are both doctors.
Okay.
Okay, but retired at this point.
Okay.
And one day, Ed, this guy who I like a lot, my neighbor lives two doors down, was walking by, and I could tell he was like fighting with something. And I go, what's going on? And he said, I got to give this speech at my daughter's wedding, and I've never done it.
Mm.
He goes, I need to bounce it off of somebody. Can I bounce it off you?
Sure.
And I said, sure, absolutely. And he goes for like 12, 13 minutes. And I said, okay, first of all.
Half as long.
Right. I go, it's too long.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's too long. And here's the best stuff. You got to play it up top. Anyway, blah, blah. I was helpful. He goes to the wedding. He kills it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just kills it. Because I give him 15 minutes. Month later, my mom, who's 83, is in my garage. She's trying to lift something. Crockpot hits her in the head, cracks her head open.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in New York. Lisa is in Park City.
Okay.
My mom's home watching our son.
Yeah.
She's now bleeding from her head. I don't know if she'd call an ambulance. I don't think she should drive to urgent care.
Go to Ed's house.
I text Ed.
Yeah.
I said, are you home? He goes, yes, I'll go take care of it. Goes over. Checks up her head, sutures it, gets her up and going, checks back on her like 3 hours later. You never know, Trav, when you're going
10 minutes.
Hey,
live by the golden rule. Treat other people the way you would like to be treated.
I do.
I do.
I ignore them. Yeah. I would like to be ignored.
Can you say that one more time?
I would like to be ignored.
Yeah, you got that, Taylor?
Okay. We would veto your application. To live on the greatest street in America.
I'm
with you, John. I live on a cul-de-sac.
I do
and
too.
When I first moved in, we moved in about September, October. So we didn't know we're like the youngest couple on our street.
Uh-huh.
Everyone there has been there for like 25, 30 years. They're all like older with kids who are, 20s or so, okay? So we move in the first Christmas.
What's wrong with old people with kids in their 20s?
No, it's great. They're great. But we were definitely like, I'm sure they were a little worried about us. Like, are they going to have parties? Right? Like they were, we were kind of like that age, and we
rolling
have kids
the
yet.
Keg in the front door.
Right? And anyway, so we show
Spring
up.
Break.
And the first Christmas, all of a sudden, we didn't know this was Christmas Eve. They start bringing over plates of cookies.
It's awesome.
And
everybody exchanged gifts on Christmas Eve, and you got nothing going.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
no one's going to Travis's.
I was like, oh man, it's like
perfect.
Travis, the lights are out, but, the door's closed.
But you understand,
Susan's sitting in the window with her chin on her hands, looking out like
Susan,
I don't want to go outside.
I wonder what it is out there.
Travis won't meet me out there.
Susan would be having her. She'd drag the oven out into the middle of the street, leading the cookie cook-off, and I would be in the house saying, Have a nice time.
Don't bother me.
Don't bother me.
I'm just like, it's Christmas Eve. What am I supposed to
leave
do?
Me out.
So like,
how did you save it?
I went to Ralph's and I got like the pre-made cookies on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
got the pre-made
like
cookies, made them, and like,
now,
had,
now
and then dropped them
off
on
the
Christmas.
Carpet?
Like we just and they weren't good, but like at least I had something to give. And then the next year, I was like, I got to step this up. So I went and found a cookie recipe. Michelle Beadle actually gave me one because she made one that was really good. And then I stepped up. It took me like four batches. I'm not a baker. And now I've since stepped up my, now that I have kids, I don't have to like.
Beadle was on Mason's podcast and they were talking about neighbors, like, you know, like you are today.
Yeah.
And she had a famous neighbor that she said was the worst.
Okay. Oh.
Like wouldn't give her the time of day.
Yeah.
And that's what people are going to say about Travis Rogers.
Yes. Hold on.
Yeah, people are going
to
say,
I was just telling him, give him 10 minutes. The guy helped you. You needed to figure out how to turn off the water in the house. He helped him. Give him 10 minutes.
He did you a favor. Okay, here's another.
Five. How about five?
So I'm friends with.
Warmer. We're getting warmer.
I'm friends with all my neighbors, and my friend Cindy is having a big birthday this weekend. So a bunch of people going out Saturday night. I'm going out for part of it. So she sends out an invite. I think she may have coined a phrase that she should trademark. You guys tell me. So she was explaining the itinerary for the night. Starting at their house for cocktails, got a party bus, going to this restaurant in Redondo, then going to another restaurant, everybody back by midnight. Okay, and so she's answering all the questions, and she writes, dress code.
Oh,
as usual, guys will wear whatever they wear. Women. The dress code is two words, elevated cougar.
Yes!
Isn't that a great
That's
phrase?
Excellent.
I texted her, elevated cougar might be the best phrase ever invented.
Ever.
And she texted me back with an asterisk, leopard print optional.
Oh, my God.
That's good. I like her.
Elevated
That's
cougar.
Good.
Yeah, but you see, would totally be. She's a huge sports fan.
Hold
You'd
on.
You'd totally be friends with her.
I need to add this to my list because here's what the cases that you're all making are compelling.
Mm-hmm.
John, you made a case for free medical care.
Yep.
Right.
Ramona,
well,
you
just
made
Christmas cookies.
You establish a relationship, Trav.
Homemade Christmas cookies.
I understand.
It can help you out of a fix
if you get one. Yeah. I understand. Like my,
good,
like
good
my neighborhood yesterday. Ramona, you made a very compelling case for cookies.
Would you like me to bring some in this year? Because they bring me so many.
But Travis will eat them instead of giving them to his neighbors. Don't tell me you won't.
You made the case for elevated cougar, leopard print.
Yeah.
These are good things.
Right.
Here's the rub. So, getting my trees trimmed this weekend. These are the conversations that I don't need 20 minutes on tree trimming.
Okay.
I don't need 20 minutes on why he's deciding to mulch the flower bed today.
I thought Slee was only asking you for 10.
10 minutes.
No, what I'm saying is these
for the karma
10
gods.
10 turns into 30.
Thank you.
Fast.
It's not. It's never 10. It's either none or your afternoon.
No, not true. If I run into Feldman, we catch up in like whatever increments we have.
Yeah.
Like if we have 5 minutes, we talk for 5 minutes, and then one of us just goes, I gotta go.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You have the type of job where you could very reasonably say, I gotta take this.
Oh, I do. I do that when I get out of the car.
Call, yeah.
I hold my phone up to my ear and walk
I'm
into
surprised
the house.
To you. Slee.
It just has headphones on the whole time.
I'm actually surprised at Travis because Travis is a really good guy.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I have an older couple that lives across the street from
me,
Tom and Diane, and I hadn't seen Diane in a while, and so I was worried about her, so I just sent...
Is Diane okay?
Yeah. I sent him an email the other day. I go, hey, we haven't seen you guys in a while. Do you need anything? I'll make Jack go to the store for you, or I'll go to the store for you. And I found out Diane had COVID. Now she's over it.
Okay.
She's just taking it easy. These are things, Trav, that neighbors do.
I am a good guy, and I appreciate you saying that.
Right.
And I am a good neighbor in the sense that...
You are not.
I am. I am just
You're a good guy who shockingly is a terrible neighbor.
No, I'm a good neighbor in that I take my trash cans in on time.
Okay, that's good.
My house is not in disrepair.
He follows HOA.
I follow all HOA guidelines. I do not have a pet.
Okay. So we have a neighbor who is... generally okay as a neighbor, kind of parks the like big motorhome in front of his house, a little too much for my taste.
Not my
okay.
I don't
okay.
do that.
But this is the cardinal sin. Has dogs, does
Poops.
Not pick it up.
How do
really?
People not
yes.
do that?
Oh yeah. See, I would say something to him.
Really?
How
all
do they
know
justify
it's you
it?
And your dog. We all know.
Hey,
how do they justify it? What
they
do they
don't.
Say?
Well, like we just Like, I just come home and
say,
I see that it's this little dog.
Hey,
and
I, like, I notice your dog is using our lawn.
I have two suggestions for you.
Can you mind picking that up, please?
The first one is this one. Just say, hey, do you guys have a dog?
No, we have a cat.
Okay. Well, talk about somebody else in the dog in the neighborhood and just say, hey, we're trying to keep the neighborhood clean. I said something the other day. Just remember to pick up after your dog.
Oh, boy. That's a hard one to do.
No, you think they'll get mad at you?
Maybe.
Really?
Well, I could also say, it's an accusation. We're trying to figure out, a bunch of people have been, you know, there's been some dog do in their house or their yard. We're trying to figure out who's doing it. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who walk by here. And I can be like, we're trying to figure out who's doing
it. No, that's
the
way to
do it.
I think that's the way to do it. Just indirectly without blaming them.
All the time.
You could say, if you happen to see whose dog is using my lawn as their bathroom, would you mind telling me? I'd like to ask him. I'd like to ask him to stop.
And if you want to be like super passive aggressive, you could put a big sign in your yard.
I've seen that before.
Clean up after your dog.
That's what my mom did.
People were letting their dogs go in her flowers. So she put up
I saw.
I go, you've become get off my lawn person.
John, I'm not kidding. I saw someone on Twitter yesterday on this. Somebody has a camera in front of their home. So the lady who's walking her dog does not pick up after the dog. The camera takes a photo of that person, and then instead of that neighbor picking up the poop from somebody else's dog, they put a photo of the person with the dog that they don't pick up. So anybody that walks by knows exactly who it was.
Wait, Trev.
It's like a wanted poster. It's like,
literally.
Should be hanging in the post office.
That's amazing.
Here's another example of why you need to be a better neighbor. When we were all locked down doing the show from home, I do the show from upstairs in a spare bedroom.
Yep.
And I'm doing the show and I'm upstairs and I get a pounding on my door and I'm going to ignore it. I figure it's a delivery. Pound on my door again. Then I hear this, John. And I walk downstairs. It's my next door neighbor with a fire extinguisher. He goes, your shed's on fire.
Oh, geez.
In the back, we have a tool shed where there's all the equipment for the jacuzzis there. And somebody left a lounge chair cushion up against the heater and the heater, it caught fire and the whole house would have gone had this guy not come over and hand me a fire. Now your neighbor, especially after hearing all this, isn't coming anywhere near you. And there goes your house.
Here's what, if I were your neighbor in this situation, John, I would have called 911. I would have said, I don't know your address, 123 Main Street is on fire. You should probably send a truck.
Yeah, but
he would have turned his sprinklers on and just kept
he filled up a bucket of water, left it in the door and walked away. This is shocking to me that you're a bad neighbor.
I am exactly the type of neighbor I would like to have.
You know what? It's not shocking to me because I remember
if you were a political leader
fan.
No, I'm a bad baseball fan.
When you went to Dodger Stadium and someone tried to talk to you.
Yeah.
I remember this story.
Well, no, but see, that's one of the rare times, Ramona, where I did engage and I regretted it. Because, see, I've talked about this.
Is this the guy sitting in the wrong
seat? Yeah, so the guy sitting next to our group, right? We got a group of people, and he's in the seat right next to us. And he said something to me at one point.
And he was single. He was a single fan,
It was a single fan. He said, I forget what
it
was.
It's not even a seat.
Lonely guy.
He said something about, like, Charlie Huff had a great fastball. I'm like, well, actually, Charlie Huff was a knuckleball pitcher. Like, something
Which
like that.
Which is correct,
And because it was one of those things that just, I have to fix that. I can't let that be out there. And that was, I don't know, second or third inning. Now I'm his personal baseballreference.com page for the rest of the afternoon. Right. Hey, what about this guy? You know anything about this? And now me deciding to engage in a very rare opportunity cost me a nice
everybody
afternoon
loses.
At the Dodgers.
Do what Mason does. Always travel with a pair of earbuds. And when the guy is talking your ear off, put the earbuds in.
What's the difference between that and pretending I'm on my phone when I walk in my front door?
Because
somebody helped you. That's the situation we're talking about. Somebody who helped you.
Yeah,
I didn't fight him after he helped me.
But no, you have no sense of reciprocity here.
No. That's not true. Was it Emily? Was it your idea?
Fight him.
Somebody had a good idea. Go give him a 6-pack. Give him a bottle of wine. I would 100% do that.
Have you done that?
Not yet. It happened yesterday.
Right.
So maybe I'll do it on the way
home. So do you think going on the air and talking about how much you hate speaking with this guy might get back to him and your gesture will appear as hollow?
Offering? It's kind of a win-win. If he hears it, problem solved.
It's not a win-win.
And if he doesn't hear it, then I can continue to do my thing.
I know you guys are going to spend a lot of time on this, but just your thoughts. Pat Bev to the Lakers. What do you guys think?
So this show is going to be interesting today. Because we both like Pat Bev.
Yep.
but I love the trade and Ramona hates it. Mm. So we're going to go back and forth. I know I did not listen to much of your show today, but I'm guessing Slee, you're okay with it, and Trav, you probably aren't.
I don't hate it. I wouldn't go as far as that, but I don't think it's a difference making deal.
I can sum up how I feel in like two sentences. There's three other guys on the Jazz who are probably going to get traded that I would have chosen before that.
What?
Would have rather had Bogdanovich, or would have rather had Clarkson, okay, would have rather had Donovan Mitchell, obviously, but that's not an option.
Okay, let me address that. All right, so all those names you mentioned. What I always say, and Slee, you get kind of cornered into the same interviews that I do. If you talk, I can't tell you how many times I've said this about last year's Laker team. I said, if you have somebody on your show, if I'm on doing some other radio show or something, I say, if you have somebody on your show and you bring them on to talk about the Lakers and they don't, if you want to test if somebody's actually watching our games.
Uh-huh.
If you have somebody on to talk about the Lakers and in the first 30 seconds they don't say the word defense.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not worth talking to. They didn't watch our team play. The defense was such an indescribably bad problem last year that they had to address it. Absolutely had to. Over the past several years, Patrick Beverley is top five in on-the-ball defense, one-on-one. Every time we played another team that had a great player, Steph, Dame, Booker, Luka, anywhere you want to go. Some guy, Jalen Green, lighten us up for 37 points. Nobody could check those guys. Now Pat Bev's getting all those dudes. And he's just crazy enough that I told Ramona in the back, there's a great, my favorite music documentary of all time is History of the Eagles.
Yep.
It's 4.5 hours long in two parts, but completely worth watching. And at one point of it, Don Henley is talking about Irving Azoff, who's now a pretty successful sports executive. Arena executive, owns a lot of buildings. He's had an unbelievable life, but he started as a music manager, and one of his acts were the Eagles. And Don Henley looks right at the camera. He goes, "Let's get one thing straight. Irving is an a-hole." And he goes, "But he's our a-hole." Yeah. That's Pat Bev. He's an irritant. He drives people crazy, but he's now irritating the other team instead of us. And I think they had to go out and get a defensive difference maker, and they did. I'll also tell you this. I love THT and Stanley Johnson, both great guys. THT needs the ball. He would tell you
that's
that.
That's right. He does.
He needs the ball in his hands, and on our team, especially with LeBron re-signing, he was just not going to have the ball in his hands.
Let him go develop in a rebuilding Utah team.
And Stanley is expendable in the sense that despite being a great guy and a good player, you can get guys. They went out and got him in the open market last year.
He wasn't even on a team when they got him.
They went out and got Wenyen Gabriel, who basically does the same thing. So those two guys are replaceable. What the Lakers did and why I like the trade is they addressed their biggest problem, and that is on the ball defense. That's why I like the trade.
Ramona, you will have the floor when you come back, right? Mason and Ireland coming back next. Ramona in for Mace.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go. Hey, people, It's the Mason and Ireland show. Bergman's here. Jorge's here. Momo's here. I'm here. Mason's taking naked pictures under waterfalls again.
Oh, my God.
Why is he doing it again, though? That's the real question.
Because, unlike Travis, Mason needs attention. Travis wants no attention. Mason needs lots of attention. And, of course, our big story today, the Lakers have made a trade. They send to Utah Talen Horton Tucker and Stanley Johnson, both good dudes. Wish them well. We are getting Pat Beverly. And I think this addresses the Lakers' biggest need, which is on the ball defense. Momo, you're not crazy about this trade. What's the main reason why?
I feel like I'm one of those people who believes in Talen Horton Tucker. And I think that he's a talented guy that I think they could have got more for. I understand why they did this move, because they want defense. They need, Pat's a tough guy. As somebody said to me this morning, he's the kind of guy who's going to make sure you don't lose that game in Oklahoma City on a Tuesday, two in a row in Oklahoma City on a Tuesday night.
Right.
Remember those games last year? And it is what they need. I do think I would have rather had Bogdanovich in Utah or Jordan Clarkson. I don't think they're getting
Donovan
Mitchell.
Can I address these points as you make them?
Yeah.
Okay. Love Bogdanovich. Love JC. Love Clarkson. They don't address your defense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ramona, I can't overstate how bad the Laker defense was last year. It's the entire reason they didn't make the postseason. All right. I know LeBron and AD missed a ton of games.
Yep.
But I would say 82-game season, they didn't defend in 50 of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why their record was so bad. Bergman, what do you think of this trade?
I actually really like the trade. The only thing that I don't really like about it is that this should have been done earlier with THT. Now that he's gone, now you're seeing that Alex Caruso was the right choice. It was a complete mistake that they didn't trade THT 2 years ago. But overall for the trade, I like what Patrick Beverley brings. He's going to get in your face. He's going to bother you. He's going to get under your skin, and he's going to play strong defense.
All right, so let me serve my role as Lakers apologist here. I think the reason, Greg, going back 2 years ago when they let Caruso go and kept THT.
Well, and also the trade that could have been for Kyle Lowry.
Right, but Kyle Lowry was terrible last year.
But 2 years ago, it was different when he was still with Toronto.
Right, but here's the thing. If you spend all that money on Kyle Lowry, you can't give it to anybody else. And Kyle, I think he would say he was a big disappointment in Miami last year.
Well, and also, I think the word was out that Kyle wanted a big contract extension.
Right.
That part of the reason he was available in Toronto is because Toronto had decided, thank you for everything you've done, but we're not going to give you $90 million over the next 3 years.
And keep in mind, Greg, 2 years ago when they had to make a decision on Talen Horton Tucker and his contract, he was 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was killing people in practice. What I have, after getting to know the coaching staff and watching, obviously, every game for the past however many years, what I've learned about Talen is that he needs the ball in his hands.
Yep.
He can't play off the ball. And on a team with LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, he's not getting the ball.
Okay, so last year, though, when LeBron was hurt or AD was hurt or Westbrook played, but when the Lakers were going nowhere last year, I know they played all the way till the end to try to get into the play-in game. That was embarrassing if you think about how the level of talent on that team couldn't even get into the play-in game. But that was an opportunity to showcase Talen and see what you have, but also to rebuild his value. Like, this is a player who I think even last year at the trade deadline had more value. And when you have so few young players and assets or things that people want in trades,
right?
You can't just let a young player like that go. And look, Patrick Beverley's a good acquisition for them. He's going to help them. I just think they need more than that, and they just have very few. Like, if we're using a poker analogy, they're short stacked now in terms of what they have to get out of this situation they're in. They only have those two first-round picks.
All right,
27
but hold on.
And 29. Talen was an asset that they could have built back up.
Let's talk about that for a second. If they do nothing, they hang on to Talen Horton Tucker, or they trade him for Bogdanovich or Clarkson, like you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. That doesn't address the defense, and you're right back to where you were a year ago. Now, in terms of not being short-stacked, to address that point you made, I'm curious what you think, and I think we're going to track Brian Windhorst down next hour, and he's going to join us. I now think, people were saying last night, Greg, I think you texted this to me, okay, now that they've traded for Patrick Beverley, there's no way they're keeping Westbrook.
I can't.
I think they are keeping Westbrook. Momo, what do you think?
I think they're keeping Westbrook. I think he'll be on the I know. Look, I was sitting 5 feet away when Patrick Beverley dove into Russell Westbrook's knee
in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. And I was there for that. I remember the play. I remember the fallout. I remember Russ did not get to play. I think they had the best record in the West then, and Patrick was on Houston. And Russ, we didn't know how hurt he was. Remember, he kept playing through that. And then later on, it turned out he was out for the rest of the playoffs, and they went out and they didn't get to. That was one of the years that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook didn't get to see what they could do as a duo together because he got hurt. He has always had a rivalry with Patrick, and yet I think they're going to be on the team together this year.
Remember when Matt Barnes and Kobe used to almost get into fights, and then once they were teammates, they were fine. Meta world peace, okay. And Kobe. I mean,
John,
come on.
You were in Minnesota last year, right?
Right.
I even felt bad for Russ. I thought that was one of the most disrespectful ways that a team was treating another player I have ever seen.
The cold as ice thing?
No, that's not the cold as ice.
That was Sacramento, right? Yeah.
The one where, I mean, Patrick said some things after that game, but also Carl Anthony Towns refused to guard him. Remember, he put his hands behind his back and wouldn't guard him when he shot.
Dared him to shoot.
I mean, it was humbling is a nice word. Like, disrespectful is probably more in line. But, and I know, because I was close on that one. That was not something that Russ is going to forget for a long time. That's going to have to be addressed.
Okay. Oh, well, I think it will be, and I think that they're going to end up on the same team. Now, you guys want to hear a soundbite that's going to get played over and over and over again now that Russ is on the Lakers?
Absolutely.
Now that Pat Beverly's on the Lakers? Mm-hmm. Remember this?
Yeah. Weak ass Clippers. Yeah. Beat they ass. Fuck out of here.
Weak-ass Clippers, get the F out of here.
Hey, who do the Lakers play in game 2 of the season at Staples or at Crypto?
Well, he used to
play. They play the Clippers.
Yeah, here's another example of why you want Beverley. This was 3 months ago when he wasn't even on the Lakers, mm-hmm. when he was doing First Take one day at ESPN.
If I was a free agent and I played for the Lakers, I'm going to the playoffs. I'm going to the West Conference Finals.
So you believe if you were a member of the Lakers, they'd go to the Western Conference Final. As presently constructed, or with the team as presently constructed, or would somebody have to go?
No, nobody goes. Exact same thing. Western Conference Finals. Because they have no one who's in no discredit to LeBron James, but he's doing so much. Who's the leader? They had success because there was a leader there. Rondo was there. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was the leader. Who's the leader? Who's telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, you got to be low man, bro. That ain't your help out. You got to X out. No one's telling them that. Mm. Not on a consistent basis.
Right. And Patrick Beverley's going to tell them that?
I'm going to tell everyone that.
Okay.
Because I want to win. Because it's not about me scoring 20. It's not about me having 15 dimes. I want to win. I want to beat everyone I play.
I mean, come on.
He's right. He's right about that.
We need this guy.
That is 100% right what he just said. There was nobody on the team last year that got up in LeBron's face. The closest they probably had was David Fizdale.
Right, and he's gone.
And he's gone.
Yeah, in Utah, strangely.
Yeah. Well, which is why they wanted Talen.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we're going to take some of your phone calls. I like the trade. Bergman likes the trade. Momo, not so crazy about it. But Patrick Beverley's coming to the Lakers. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We'll let you sound off on the Lakers trade coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Momo. Ramona Shelburne is in for Mace this week, and we're talking about the big Laker trade. Patrick Beverley coming to the Lakers, Talen Horton-Tucker, and Stanley Johnson going to the Jazz. I like the trade a lot because the number one thing I felt the Lakers needed to address was their on-ball defense, and Patrick Beverley is an excellent on-ball defender. You heard, Ramona, I played that clip earlier where he said, he would not hesitate to tell LeBron defensively where he needs to go.
Yep.
And you might have thought after hearing that, well, it doesn't sound like Patrick Beverley wants to really play with LeBron. He was also asked that a couple of months ago, point blank, would you hesitate to join LeBron? Here's what he said.
Would you want to play with LeBron on these Lakers?
If I was a free agent?
Yes.
And if me and Minnesota didn't agree to
yeah, a number? Correct.
Yes.
You would?
Not even, I wouldn't even hesitate. Just to be able to play with a great like that, be able to pick his brain, be able to, you know, be a star in whatever role that I have, playing aside Russell Westbrook, fantastic. I mean, we couldn't ask for, and playing for the Lakers, couldn't ask for a better job.
So it's.
All right, so he's into it. Yeah, I mean, he wants to play here. Here's Earl in Anaheim. Hey, Earl, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, how's it going today? Hey, I agree what Pat Beverley brings to the table. He's going to bring toughness and heart and effort, something that the Fakers do not have. But him saying we go into the Western Conference Finals, he's dreaming a little bit. And I just don't think he's that good enough offensively to help you out with, like some of you guys were saying earlier, that they need shooting. Who's shooting? Him and LeBron on the same court and Westbrook at the same time? Hell, I might have a better chance of making a three than those dudes. But look, I just think that y'all souping up the L.A., you know, fan base here and saying, oh, this is a great trade for the Lakers, and, yeah, this is another piece, but this doesn't get them into the top four and battling for a championship.
Yeah, I don't – thanks, Earl, for the phone call. All right, thank you. I don't necessarily think it puts them into the top four, but it's moving in the right direction. It's getting – they're getting better defensively. Here's Mike in San Pedro. Hey, Mike, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Want to make a point real quick. I think this is a great pickup for the Lakers, particularly in the Western Conference where you have a lot of big-name point guards. On the Eastern Conference, it might not be as big where there's a lot of dominating wing and forward players. But on the West Coast Conference, in the Western Conference, there are a lot of big-name point guards where he'll be able to take on that task and will enjoy that task.
All right, thanks. I'm not expecting Russ to provide a lot of offense. Patrick Beverley.
Right.
To provide a lot of
it's
offense.
Not why he's on the team.
Shoots 34% from three, which is good, better than most of our guys. But, I mean, what I'm counting him on is to take the other team's best player, best guard, best wing, and go. Like, I got a tweet here from somebody that doesn't like the trade. Here's from Kobe Forever. We literally traded our only wing defender for another guard. Last year we got killed on the wings because we had nobody there. Now we still have nobody there. Bogdanovich is a good wing defender, Ireland. You're just in your L.A. bubble. Patrick Beverley is a better defender than Bojan Bogdanovich. Patrick Beverley is a better defender than Jordan Clarkson. He's a better defender than anybody we have on our team. That's why they're doing it.
Yep. I think they're a better team now than they were before the trade. I'm not being fair in this because what's done is done, but I think they'll regret trading Talen for this return. Like, it's not a slight to Pat or anything. I think Talen's good, and he's going to do really well in Utah, and it's more of a referendum on how to distress an asset, right? How to not build up a young player, and then you lose them and you wonder what happened. I mean, there's a few young players that this has happened to with the Lakers over the years, and it, and some of them are avoidable and some are unavoidable, right? Thomas Bryant was on the Lakers when he came out of college. They did a good job drafting him. Wasn't he a second round? I think he was a second round pick.
Right.
They had to cut him, and they didn't have, because they didn't have room on the roster for him. I think it was the 2020 year, right?
Yeah, they were making room for LeBron.
For LeBron and AD. I think that was when they had to just clear roster spots out and clear salary to get to get enough to trade for him. And he went on and had a really nice year in Washington, and he was exactly the kind of player the Lakers could have used, but they didn't have room for him. It was just the way it was, and he built himself into a nice NBA career, had some injuries, and that's why he's available this summer. But this one with Talen, like, you found a guy in the late second round who I think is a pretty good player in the league. We'll see. Sometimes people have a good flash and they don't develop. He's still got to prove it, but you know, I don't like giving up on young players like that.
Here's Giovanni in Las Vegas. Hey, Giovanni, you're on ESPN LA.
Hi, John. Hi, Momo. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Giovanni. We're good.
So the Pat Beverly trade, I'm with John. I like the trade. You know, like you said, we need that 3-and-D guy. We need, you know, that guy that's going to get in your face, especially with guys like, you know, Chris Paul and guys, you know, those two guards that just, you know, they score on us a lot, especially last year. Like, we need that defense. We need to go back to, you know, that defensive mentality that got us the 2020 championship. That Pat Beverly side. Just a quick point, and thank God that Momo is on the show. I saw episode 3 of Legacy yesterday, and they were talking about how Dr. Buss, you know, got, you know, the Lakers, the Forum, the mm-hmm. Kings and all that. I you know, I'm a big fan of Momo's podcast that she did on Donald Sterling, and I believe I remember in episode 3 of the podcast, she talked about how Donald Sterling was, you know, that 11th-hour call from Dr. Yep. Buss saying, you know, I need you to bail me out. I never heard about the story about the Chrysler Building. I never, yep. And to me, it was just mind-blowing on how, you know, like, it literally got me off guard. I was just like, wait, the Chrysler Building?
Yeah,
that's
what Jack Kent Cook wanted. He wanted the Chrysler Building, and so Jerry Buss had to acquire it in order to make the Laker deal happen. And thanks for the phone call. By the way, if you're not watching Legacy, it's really good.
Yeah, it is good. I watched episode 2 last night. I'm getting caught up, but I'm too old and I can't stay up late. Yeah, it was like midnight and I was falling asleep.
There's 3 episodes in so far, and yeah. what I tell people is, if you liked Winning yep. Time, this is the real story.
Yeah.
All right, Winning Time was made up. In a lot of
no, it's real, and there's a lot of really good stuff. Like, I just, you know, it's that story you told yesterday about Kurt Rambis and James Worthy.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, it's in Legacy yeah. that when Worthy got drafted by the Lakers, he looked at Kurt Rambis. He said, "Okay, I'm taking his job," and Rambis beat the crap out of him in practice. And Worthy said, "All right, I'm moving over to Jamal Wilkes." but that's all in Legacy. Yeah. It is. It's on Hulu. 3 episodes in. I think they're going to be 10.
10 total, yep.
Antoine Fuqua, who's a really good director. He did Training Day. He's done a lot of other great movies. He's the one who put it all together. And it is, if you are a Laker fan, it is very, very much worth your time. Here's Johnny in Beverly Hills. Hey, Johnny, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
This is the best trade the Lakers have made since Anthony Davis. And let's not forget that the Lakers have been termed a dysfunctional organization. And partly because no one has the courage to tell LeBron what he needs to hear. Patrick Beverly coming to the team will be a breath of fresh air. I don't feel like the Lakers, not only the Lakers team, but the whole organization, they really need to hold LeBron accountable. We love LeBron, but you know, he basically, to let him be a GM and to engineer that Russell Westbrook trade, that's what got us in this mess to begin with. And this team now is really a strong defensive team. I mean, Troy Brown, Thomas Bryant, Damon Jones, all these guys can play defense. Juan Toscano-Anderson. I mean, this Kendrick Nunn is coming back. I think we're going to surprise some people this year. This is going to be a top 4 team in the West.
Hope so. Hope you're right. Thanks for the phone call. You know, Bergman.
Here's Johnny.
His name was Johnny. He said, "Here's Johnny in L.A." So wow.
Here's Johnny.
And, just go with it.
The Bergman sent me this stat from last night that ESPN put it up. Lowest field goal percentage allowed as a closest defender over the last 5 seasons. Giannis 1, Patrick Beverly 2.
Wow.
Ben Simmons 3, Anthony Davis 4.
Okay.
And Rudy Gobert 5. So the Lakers now have two of the best 5 on-ball defenders over the past 5 years. And it was a huge, huge problem before yesterday.
And you know what? This is something Pat said in that interview clip you played about saying to LeBron, hey, you're not getting there on this rotation, or you're like, right. I'm not going to be afraid to say that.
Right.
That is something I don't think people talk enough about. And it's not necessarily an indictment on LeBron. It's just there's very few people in your career when you're somebody like LeBron who can say that to you and you'll listen.
Right.
So Jared Dudley was that guy. Jason Kidd was that guy. Rajon Rondo was that guy. That was the team that won a championship. Last year, I really think the closest they had to it was David Fizdale, who he knew from Miami. Fizz is in Utah now, but Fizz is not a player. He's a coach.
Right.
It's different when a player holds you accountable or says those type of things where he's gonna listen.
Here's the bite you were talking about. We played this at the start of the show. This was 2 months ago before Patrick Beverley was even on the Lakers. Here's what he said.
If I was a free agent and I played for the Lakers, I'm going to the playoffs. I'm going to the West Conference Finals.
So you believe if you were a member of the Lakers, they'd go to the Western Conference Finals? As presently constructed, or with the team as presently constructed, or would somebody have to go?
No, nobody goes. Exact same thing. Western Conference Finals. Because they have no one who's in no discredit to LeBron James, but he's doing so much. Who's the leader? They had success because there was a leader there. Rondo was there. At the time, he was the leader. Who's the leader? Who's telling LeBron, hey, LeBron, you got to be low man, bro. That ain't your help out. You got to X out. No one's telling them that. Mm. Not on a consistent basis.
Right. And Patrick Beverley's going to tell them that?
I'm going to tell everyone that.
Okay.
Because I want to win. Because it's not about me scoring 20. It's not about me having 15 dimes. I want to win. I want to beat everyone I play.
I mean, that's exactly what the Lakers need. They need a guy who's going to focus on defense and get in people's face, and now they've got him. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. Momo's wheel today.
Hey.
And still to come, top of the hour, Brian Windhorst from ESPN will give us his take on this trade and everything else going on in the NBA. First, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. When it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing technology for years, and that's ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, their powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply for your job. I had a chance to meet the guy who created ZipRecruiter, a guy named Ian Siegel, really good dude. And Ian told me the reason ZipRecruiter works is they don't leave it to chance. They match your job with people that have those specific skills. It's a winning formula. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate in one day. It's actually a little higher than that, 83%. So if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. You got nothing to lose because right now it's free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, John. So there's a couple of options here. Right?
Okay.
You're spinning, and I could see that it's like on the Price is Right when it gets stuck between 500 and 400.
Pick the one you want.
All right. Would your partner still want to be with you if they could read your mind? So this, I guess for Greg, this, we'll just say your daughter, if would your daughter still love you if she could read your mind?
Yes. Yes, she absolutely would. I love that child more than anything in the world. And that's truth.
If she could read your mind.
I don't want anybody.
I don't want to read in my mind.
Even
though.
Lisa reading my mind. That mind is there's a lot of crap going on in there. Yeah. I don't think that would go well for me.
Yeah, because you have a nice filter.
Yeah,
like you do say a lot of things. I don't tell you anything that I don't want you to say on the radio.
Right,
you are self-professed.
Smart of you. Yeah, I mean, I love gossip. If you tell me, if you have a real secret,
yeah,
I'm very good at keeping them. But if you don't tell me, hey, don't tell anyone this. I'll tell everybody.
I know every time I text you, it's going on the air.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, unless I say don't read this on the air.
Right.
Disclaimer at the beginning of the text too. Okay, Jorge. Would Brenda still want to be with you if she knew what was going?
Oh,
if she could read your mind.
Yeah,
really.
You're supposed to say next question.
Yeah, next question. What's on the 500 side?
Well, the other one was a. I don't know. It was a
save
silly
it.
One.
You can do it.
Save
you
it.
Do
it.
Yeah, you can do it tomorrow.
I can do it tomorrow if you want. Yeah. I have.
Well, how about you? Would Nevin still be married to you if he knew what was going on inside that head of yours?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm the
I
same
don't know.
Way. I'm the same way.
Probably. Yeah, ish. But I know when to shut up. I know when to not say that. I actually will talk to myself and say, that's one of those things that you should just think to yourself, Ramona.
You don't have to say everything you think out loud. I'm trying to teach that to my son who just blurts stuff out.
Yeah.
I go, you know, you don't have to share everything that's going on inside your head. But I want to. Yeah, not a great idea. Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Not so sure. All right, let me.
Another tough question. Jeez.
Yeah, that was good though. That's why we do it. All right, so let me ask you this.
Greg got out way
Tom
too easy.
Tom Brady.
I did.
Tom Brady just.
Because the answer's no.
Mysteriously.
Yeah.
Missed 11 days of training camp.
Very mysterious.
And remember, he retired.
Yep.
And then he unretired, and we all thought, well, maybe this was something he planned.
Yep.
And when he unretired, he arranged with Tampa and with the Buccaneers to take that. But there is this theory that keeps getting put out there by different people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that perhaps Tom Brady went on The Masked Singer. Now, it's not as ridiculous as you might think. Dwight Howard was on The Masked Singer.
Yep.
Victor Oladipo was on The Masked Singer. They've had other athletes, good athletes. Terry Bradshaw was on. And now, I know a guy that works way up in finance at Fox. And I said, do people really watch The Masked Singer? And he told me it was their number one show outside of sports. So the number one thing people watch on Fox is NFL football.
Yep.
Other than that, they're watching The Masked Singer. He said it's a huge hit in the middle of the country. So this rumor starts when Brady's been gone for 4, 5, 6 days that he's filming The Masked Singer, that he agreed to do it, and they think it's going to be a ratings bonanza for when he joins Fox as an announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady made a joke about it, said, I'm not off doing The Masked Singer, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, somebody, and I assume it was intentional, leaked a clip from an upcoming Masked Singer show. I'm going to play you the clip, and you tell me if it's something or nothing. All right, Ken Jeong is trying to edit. They have somebody up there dressed up, and he's trying to guess who it is. And he goes through some deductive reasoning here, and you tell me if it's something or nothing. Ready?
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. This is screaming out like a football legend, someone who's won 2 Super Bowl rings, someone like Peyton Manning, who has football in his DNA, Father Archie Manning, Super Bowl. He's friends with Shaq. And if you look at his face, it kind of looks like Peyton Manning. So I think I'm right.
Can I get a no Ken on 3? 1, 2, 3.
No Ken.
So that guess is wrong.
Finish. Or I think this could be the greatest of all time. He just got fined for not showing up to training camp because he is here on The Masked Singer. This is 7-time Super Bowl winner, Tom Brady. Tom!
Wow! Welcome
to the next Denver!
Well,
and then the clip stops.
Oh,
they don't
man.
Tell him he's wrong. It's sitting out there now, gone viral. Something or nothing.
Oh, that's something. That's something. Doesn't mean that's what he did. But they, even if he
Bergman,
is not
something
on the
or nothing.
Singer,
I think it's absolutely nothing, and that they're just playing this so they can get more ratings on their show.
Jorge, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Greg on this one. More ratings.
Oh. I still think it's something, though, even if they're just playing it for ratings.
Well, it's something for them.
Yeah.
Not for Brady, though.
If they pull this off, if Tom Brady really did go do the Masked Singer, boy, did Fox pull off a coup. I mean, what?
Okay.
Would you actually be upset with Brady
How
if he did it?
How long does it take to film a Masked Singer episode?
And Dwight Howard, when he went on, came off great. Oladipo, when he went off, came on great.
Well, but Oladipo can actually sing.
Yeah, he's really good.
Dwight can't, and he did fine.
But how long does it take to film this? It's got to be like a day or two. It's not 11 days.
You just want a little extra time.
No.
You know, you got to get in the suit.
You got to record it and edit it.
Well, most of all, he's got to be in L.A.
Yeah.
While this team is training in Florida.
Look, I have held back on talking about this because I'm afraid that it's like actually something bad, like some family problem or something. We'll find out later and we're going to feel like bad talking about him being on the Masked Singer if it was like something.
Yeah, if his mom was sick
or something like that. But the fact that they leak this or this has come out or whatever it is probably not bad, right? Because I'm sure the people at Fox or the Masked Singer have the same thought I did, which is, like, don't make fun of something and then have it turn out be really bad. You're going to feel really stupid later.
Right.
I think he's probably on. I think if we've already guessed it, then sometimes you have to, like, pretend like he's
Bergman,
not
I agree
on.
With you. I don't think he was on there. And I think they're milking it for publicity, but if they are, they're doing a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart.
Well, we're talking about the Masked Singer, which we wouldn't be in otherwise.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And people might watch just so they could see if it's actually him. So.
Pretty good.
There you go. It was pretty smart.
All right. Did you guys see a little bit of a serious pivot here? Did you guys see yesterday that Vanessa Bryant was awarded $16 million by a jury for those deputies that were sharing crash site photos? Mm-hmm. Strangely, it happened on, she was awarded it on 8/24 on Mamba Day. The Chesters, another family who lost a child in that crash, were awarded, I think, another $13 million. And it got me thinking, you may have read a couple weeks ago, Alex Jones, who was a Sandy Hook denier, and the parents were really mad and upset, so they sued him, and he's got to pay him like $45 million. And what I've learned is that if you can get these cases in front of a jury, juries, and maybe rightfully so, are very sympathetic to those who have lost loved ones. And you just can't go lie and besmirch them and do mean things. There's now a price to pay for it. Because I know Vanessa and I know the family, I know they're hurting, I was kind of rooting for them here. But I was surprised, Ramona, that they got $16 million from a jury. How about you?
I don't know if I would say surprise. I agree with you. Like, when you get a case like this in front of a jury, there's just no defending it.
Right.
And I followed it enough to know, like, they were laughing about the photos. Like, it was really, really poor taste.
Right.
I also listened to the New York Times did a podcast on the Sandy Hook thing with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And it's there's a part of it that's very heartening for me because I think stories like that are just, I could just imagine being a parent and like having somebody deny that your kid was shot and something like, I mean, that's horrible, right? And that there is actually some consequences. Cause I think like we all have this idea on the internet that you can say anything and there's this anonymity and there's this, and and generally speaking, even in libel cases, even in slander cases, like you, it's very hard to prove those. So the fact that they were able to prove these and then win means that there is actually a line that you can't cross. It means there's actually some decency. There's a lines that you can't trample over. And, generally speaking, the law goes to the ends of the earth to protect free speech at the expense of these lines and decency, which I understand, and I'm grateful for that too. But there needs to be lines.
Right. And I think that both these cases are examples of you just can't do whatever you want with people's loved ones when they've been tragically killed. Yeah. And there's two examples of major punitive penalties being put on people who just went out and disrespected the deceased and were, for lack of a better term, were just almost indescribably mean.
Yeah.
And now there's a price for it. And so both the Bryant family and the Chester family came out in court yesterday very successful. All right, coming up next, we'll lighten things up. Brian Windhorst will join us. Brian knows more about the NBA than almost anybody. And he will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Patrick Beverley trade. Are the Lakers done? Does he think Russell Westbrook will still be on the roster when the season starts? We'll catch up with Windy next. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for May, ESPN LA.